Satan loves schisms in the body of Christ. How Satan loves schisms, all right? When I say body of Christ, I mean the local church is what I'm talking about directly, all right? And because obviously you're not going to have unity across the board with people all over the world together. You're going to have differences, okay? But God brings people into the body and they'll agree and they'll be able to get along with one another and they'll be able to love one another. And, you know, they'll be able to get through some things together because God's brought them together in one and He's allowed them to be able to work together, all right, to make things work. Because it's the Holy Ghost that does that, all right? He's the one that does the work to do that. Now, of course, you and I have to be obedient to Him, but He does the work, all right? And I want to talk to you about how Satan loves schisms in the body of Christ, and I want to talk to you how God didn't make the body to have schisms. Amen. He didn't make the body to have schisms. He made it to function properly, and to work together, and to work right, and for every part to be in its every member to be in its proper place, so things can work properly. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 24: For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. Look at that word, tempered. Okay, it's an important word. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. No schism, same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. Let's pray. Father, help us now, we pray. Use this short time that we have together here, Lord, as we prepare for a baptism here soon, Lord. And we thank you so much for that. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless us now. We pray that you'd give us spiritual understanding to see what you have for us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Excuse me. God wants no schisms in the body. What does that word schism mean? In a general sense, it means division or separation. But appropriately, a division or separation of church. All right? Occasioned by diversity of opinions, a breach of unity among people of the same religious faith. It's the definition. Webster's 1828 definition. And God doesn't want any schisms. That doesn't mean God doesn't want you to be a person, an individual, and have understanding and thoughts and things. We all have those. We're all going to have those. But in the body together, as we come together, He wants no schisms in that body. Your body was not created to have schisms. The body that you have, when there is a schism in the body, when there is a division or something wrong with your body, you know it. Okay? You know something's not right. Something's not working right. Right? Something's not operating right. You know, if something's not flowing right or working right, we know we have a problem, right? In our own body. Well, that's the same in the body of Christ, in the local New Testament church. It's the same way. If there's a schism there and something's not operating right, you'll know. And God will reveal it. And God is the one that helps us to all work together. It's not of our own, because listen, we're honestly not that lovable. All right? I hate to break it to you, but we're not always lovable. Okay? We're just not. Sometimes, I've said this before, but sometimes we can be as cuddly as a cactus. Right? And sometimes we're not showing the proper love that God wants us to show. One toward another. And that'll cause a schism in the body. That'll cause a breach in the body. And God doesn't want that. The Bible says that God hath tempered the body together. He hath composed it in such a way, constituted in such an order, mixed and united in all parts in such a manner as that they are all beneficial to each other, and such is the harmonious contexture of the whole. That it is the most beautiful structure. See, here's the thing. When your body is working properly and in harmony, man, it's a great thing, isn't it? But when something's not working right, ooh, it's not good at all. If I've got a bad back or a bad neck, or if my eyes aren't working properly, or something's not working properly, or my balance is off, or my back is out of place, or something like that is going on, oh, you feel it, you know it right away. And when my body's not working in harmony the way it's supposed to, there's going to be some problems. So that word tempered, it means, it also means adjusted. Okay? Tempered or adjusted. He's adjusted or tempered the body. Yeah, God's the one that does that. The Holy Ghost tempers or adjusts the body. He does it. He puts it into place. He tempers it all together and makes it all work. Because without the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you something right now, this wouldn't work at all. This church would not work together at all without the power of the Holy Ghost and without His leading. We'd be in a lot of trouble. And that's what Paul was trying to say in Corinth. When he saw it, he said, there's a problem there. He said, there's divisions among you. He said, you're all divided. You're not together. You're not in unity. You're not working together. And that's not how a body's supposed to work. And he really went after the Corinthians. He wrote a scathing letter and a reproof to them. God knows how to do it, though. He knows how to temper the body so there's no schism. You know, we cannot afford to have spiritual division in our church because God made the body and tempered it to be the way it is, to have no division. And God wants no schism in the body. He wants all of us, all members, to work together. Amen? That's the strength, but it's a strength based on truth. Not like this world wants unity. The unity this world wants is based upon error. It's based upon evil. But the truth in God's church and in God's, it's to be based upon, the unity is to be based upon truth and what's right. All right? On Christ. That's where the unity lies. I'll give you a practical example of a schism. You know, like we talked about the last, if your hand was placed over a fire, and your hand decided not to move when it was burning, if your brain didn't tell your hand to move when it was burning, well, what would happen? Well, eventually your hand would burn off, right? I mean, you're just going to burn to death there. Your hand is anyway. It's going to continue to burn. Why? Because there's a division there. They're not working together. The signals work so fast that we can't even explain them. By the time that it takes to explain them, your brain has already done so many other things, right? That's how fast it works. That's how God created the body. That's how He created your mind. And everything you work and do, it tells your body to do it. You can never work that fast yourself. Right? You can't move things like that. You can't do that. You can't even contemplate the movement of your hands by the time it's already moved. It just happens too fast. Hard to explain, isn't it? Well, that's the same way the body of Christ, the same way the local churches. God makes it all work together and He tempers it that way, and we don't understand even how it works. We just know it's through the Holy Ghost. And when we're being obedient, it works. God works. When we're being disobedient, then God will deal with the schism that's in our body. Amen? The eyes and ears watch for the general safety of the whole, and they are placed in the head like sentinels in a tower, that they may perceive the first approach of an enemy and give warning. The hands immediately on an attack exert themselves to defend the head and the body, and the limbs are swift to carry off the body from dangers against which resistance would be vain. Even the heart takes alarm from both the eyes and the ears, and when an attack is made on the body, every external muscle becomes inflated and contracts itself, that by thus collecting and concentrating its force, it may the more effectually resist the assailants and contribute to the defense of the system. What does that mean? Well, exactly what Paul said. If there's honor for one, there's honor for all. Amen? And we all rejoice. We all rejoice when someone is honored. Now, when there's a defense needed for one, then all of the body comes together to defend that one. Amen? That's what happens, right? That's how it works. That's how God's body works. That's how the body of Christ works. That's how your body works. Every move, every part of your body works that way to help or to aid. It's affected by something. So if your eyes see something that's intimidating or it brings fear to you, your heart reacts to that and your muscles react to that, your body reacts to that. Amen? So so does the body of Christ react the same way or should react the same way? Unless there's a schism, then it reacts that way. We don't care for one part of the body more than the other. And we don't ignore members in the body. Why? Because the body can't function that way. It will cause a schism. Just as if your body stopped coming to the aid of one of its members and abandoned helping one of them, it would destroy the body. Because we all hurt. We all are affected by it. Doesn't mean we're all perfect either, by the way. Because we all make a lot of mistakes. We mess up pretty big sometimes. Amen? But see, what we have to understand is when one messes up, it affects all of us. And then all of us are messed up and we all need to take care of it. Amen? We've got to all work together to make it right as best as we can. Amen? What is that, though? Why does the body react that way when something happens to it? Well, it's the natural care that God put in the body. It's the same way with you. If there's a problem in this church, we should all react. If somebody's hurting, we should all react to that the same way. And seek to help and to aid. Amen? We don't operate on our own strength and our own strength as a body, or apart from the body, because we're together. And God is telling us, you can't function properly with a schism in the body. You can't function ignoring each other in the body. The body can't properly function because God tempers it the way He wants it. But there are no renegade members in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That is, they are so tempered and mixed together, are in such close union with and have a dependence on each other, that they are necessarily obliged to take care of each other's good and welfare. Because they cannot do one without the other. And so God has ordered it in His church that persons should be placed in it and gifts disposed of among them in such a manner that every man is obliged not only to look on and be concerned for his own things, that he takes care of himself and performs his office, but that he looks every man on the things of others in the body for his good and safety being involved in theirs. See, we don't only look on our own things. We look out for others. We look out for each other. Amen? We look out for each other. 1 Corinthians 11:18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it, said the Apostle Paul. The purpose of God and His plan for the body. If there is trouble in one organ, it affects the whole body. A headache may be due to trouble elsewhere, and usually is. Sometimes you have a headache and you think it's just because there's something. No, it could be something else somewhere else in your body. Amen? Somewhere else. Hello. In other words, God is telling you, hey, you're all in it together. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We might just all hang together. Right? I don't like that thought. We might all lose our head together one day. That's crazy talk. I don't know. Look what's going on in this world. It ain't very crazy. A lot of crazy stuff going on. Right? But I would rather lose my head with all of you than be a part of you, be away from you. Amen? I would rather us all be together like that and go through this than to be apart. For the sake of Christ, that is. God hates division in His body, hates schisms, and He wants His body to be all dependent and loving one on another. And it's hard for us to admit that we are dependent on one another, isn't it? It's hard for us to admit that we must be dependent on one another. Because we're so used to doing stuff ourselves, right? And making sure you're looking out and trying to take care of yourself. We're used to that, okay? We're used to operating like that. But when we all come together as a body, we have to look out for each other. Amen? We have to look out for each other. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen? That means we're to take an interest in each other. We're to bear one another's burdens. It's not you're not an island unto yourselves. You're not alone. You're together in a body, together. And God has placed us there. You know what? We all have burdens. Every person in this room has burdens. They have burdens to bear. They have troubles. They have heartaches. They have pain. And part of the problem is you leave those to yourselves and you won't share them. Why? Because I make myself vulnerable than if I share my weakness with somebody else. Right. You know, I make myself vulnerable then. I don't want to do that. I don't want to make myself vulnerable like that. Right. But you know what? You'll never fulfill what God has for His body by being that way. What God has for you. Why? Because You're not to be unto yourself. You don't live and die unto yourself. Amen. It's more than just about you and I. It's about, number one, about Jesus Christ, and then it's about the body coming together to honor and glorify Him. And we put aside ourselves for Christ. Amen. If one suffers, then we all suffer. And if we don't, we're not being a normal body. When one of our members are hurting, whether you understand it or not, this is a living body and it affects everyone. Amen? If one's hurting, it affects everyone. That's how God made us. That's how God made it to be. So then when something happens, but you know what? Satan, he loves those schisms because he wants you not to care about somebody else. He wants us to be proud or self-willed. It's easy to do. Man, it's easy to do. It's easy to make everything about you, isn't it? You say, you sound like you speak this from experience. Of course I do. Right? I know how easy it is to make everything about us as a person. But we have to constantly fight that back. Why? For the glory of God, that's why. Because there isn't a man in here that hasn't been self-willed at some time. Or hasn't had pride or their own agenda. Or maybe pushed themselves. Not think of others. And you know, as men, we can be, and I'm talking to men right now, we can be downright selfish sometimes. We have to fight that back. To fight it back. Because it's easy to be that way. It's easy to make everything about us. Everybody's got to make us happy. Right? Right. We got to fight that back. Because it's giving into the flesh when we do that, when we become that way. Amen. You know, if one is in a bad mood and angry, it affects the body. I'll tell you what, you'd be surprised, but if you walk in the room and you're in a bad mood, and you walk into the church and you're in a bad mood, and people can see it, you think it doesn't affect the body. Boy, you better believe it does. People notice that. People notice it if we don't have a good spirit about us when we walk in. You think you can hide it, right? I can hide that. Nobody will notice that. I'll put on my best fundamental Baptist Christian face. Right? Family screaming in the car in the parking lot. Walk inside and they're all got smiles on their face. Come on, Brother Hari. I know you just did that when you came in. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're screaming your head off somewhere and then you come in and everybody's smiling. Hi. Praise the Lord. You big phony. Knock it off. Happens though. Why? We look at ourselves too much. You know, we really do think too highly of ourselves. If you want to know where the first problem starts, just get a mirror. I figured out pretty easy with myself that with problems that arise that I can usually look in the mirror first and I can get most of it taken care of there. Amen. I can get most of it taken care of before I even leave the house or even finish getting ready. All I got to do is look in the mirror and I know most of that problem is me. Amen? You know, if one in the body is in sin, that sin affects the whole body. If one's holding on to bitterness, anger, wrath, malice, any of those works of the flesh, or doing things they shouldn't do, it affects the whole body. It does. It affects everybody. You say, how is that? Because spiritually, God's brought us together. That's why. He's tempered us all together. So what you do does affect somebody else. I don't have to be very loving. I don't have to fellowship. I don't have to do that. I don't do those things. Why? Why do you think you can't get away with that? Oh, because it's just me. I mean, and I don't feel like it. And then we miss the whole point of the body, don't we? We miss the whole point. That it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about others. It's about the body coming together, working together to glorify God. Amen? You know, one thing we have to understand is we have a bunch of people here that come together to honor the Lord, and we've made a covenant together. And I've heard many people tell me many things. But I'll tell you this, God leads us all together. God leads His children along, and He leads us together. Amen? Because that's the power of God. That's how He's made it. And it, God's church, it works, and it works well. You know why it does? Because of it's His model. It's His way. When we follow Him, it works. Everything works better when we follow God. You know, some men are stronger and some men will be weaker, but all are important and all matter. And as soldiers, when we go out, whether we're preaching, whether whatever we're doing, we're soldiers together with one accord. Amen? And we're together. Why? Because that's the way God brought us. And thank God for it too. Because I sure wouldn't want to be out there alone by myself, all by myself out there, trying to make it. I've seen what this world does to people like that, and they get ate up pretty quick. You know, I get letters and emails and calls and messages and all kinds of stuff from people that are like, hey, I'm out here by myself. You got Brother PJ out there. He's trying to preach out there. He's going to get himself killed out there. We're praying for him. We're trying to get him to get out of there. You know, he needs some brethren. Amen. You can't be out there like that by yourself. Like, that's dangerous. Right? It's dangerous. That's why God brought us all together. Thank God for it too. The strength of soldiers is the fact they work together as a unit, and they leave no man. And they're together as one in one body, in one mind, glorifying God. That's the strength. Now Satan, what he does is he likes to attack rebellion and sickness. And if someone is sick in the body or has a sin in the body, and they're vulnerable for the devil to attack. That's what he looks for. He looks for a schism. He looks for a problem. He looks for something that he can capitalize on. Amen? He looks for it. Why? Because he wants to destroy us. Because he hates us.
It's like a lion.
Yeah. That's right. The lion. That's right. He hates us. Come on, folks. Listen. I don't know how many it's been since you take for this year, for example. I don't know how many thousands and thousands of thousands of tracts we've handed out. I know how many thousands and thousands of people that we've preached to. Okay? Now, the devil doesn't really like that. Okay? I don't know if you're aware of that, but he really hates that.
Right.
And he hates the fact that you actually have a real Bible when you do it. Okay? He hates that even more.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah. That bothers him too. And you go out there and you go preach. Excuse me. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that preaching. Why? Because you're going out there and you're preaching before those principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, right out in the middle of that, where the devil gets to roam around and do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that at all. So what's he going to do? Look for a way in. If he can cause some little bit of problem, if he can capitalize on one of our weaknesses, right? One minor thing and make it big. Or one big thing and make it bigger. What does he do? Oh, he gets a victory and then he sits back and he laughs at us. Right? But we praise God that the victory is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We praise God that he didn't get his way. Amen.
That's right.
We thank God he didn't get his way. And we fully intend to continue to do more and more and more by the grace of God.
Amen.
In relationships, we should be loving one to another and have the same care. The Bible says same care. That means there's no favorites. We love everybody. Amen? We love everybody. There's no favorites. If one of us are wrong, then we get it right. But we don't have any favorites. Romans chapter 15, verse number 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. With one mind and one mouth. Amen? All together. Same message. Same direction. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. Amen. One spirit, one mind. No schisms. Amen? We never let the world know about anything to do with the church, any disagreement or anything like that. We don't let them know anything about us. Why? Because, as the point of Christ, they're the enemies. Now, for the gospel's sake, we love them and we try to preach to them, but they're still enemies of the cross. We don't give them anything on us. Amen? Because that old wicked serpent can find one thing he can grab on us. One thing that he can do, he'll come after us. Oh, he's good at it. Well, they try it on the street with us, don't they? And Jerry, you've seen on the street, right? You know what I'm talking about? They'll run up to one guy and say, well, you're nice, but this other guy, he's mean over here. That's what they do. I remember one time I went there, and usually Brother Paul's the mean one. And this lady was like, well, he's being very nice and you're being very mean. I'm like, are you serious? Do you know this guy? He's usually the one that gets accused. But then the next week it turns, doesn't it? And then you're the mean guy and I'm the nice guy, and that's how. But see, what are they doing? They're trying to cause division. They're trying to cause a schism. Because if they could see you break just a little bit from your brother, then what do? They attack and they divide. Amen. And we can't afford division. That's right. That doesn't mean we're all going to act the same way all the time. And we're not a cult. We're all not going to buy the same vehicles. Because I'm definitely not buying a Prius. I'm saying. Brother Finney, I'm sorry. I love you, Brother Finney, but I'm not buying a Prius. What's that? Yeah, Lee drove my car and he said it was like a Prius. He got 38 miles to the gallon with that thing on the road. I'm like, wow. Pretty crazy, Lee. Lee keeps track of it. I don't have a clue what it is. Lee was like, it's 37.7. Yeah, what'd you say, Lee? I'm sorry. Anyway. But you know what? We're not all gonna do the same. You know, we're not gonna all be the same. That doesn't mean you're not an individual just because you come together as a body. It just means that when we act as one. We're together for Christ's sake. But it does mean concerning righteousness and holiness and the gospel and preaching that we are with one accord. Amen? Because again, Satan loves schisms. The world loves them too. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, cold hearts are the seeds that sow schisms in the body. Amen. That's right. If you don't show charity one to another and love one another, those cold hearts, you'll create a schism. It's easy to. If you don't love your brother, if you're not loving your brother, it's easy. But when you love, you know what? God uses that. And he tempers the body. Because charity is that bond of perfectness. Amen? Ryle said this. Spurgeon said this. He said, half the schisms in churches arise out of the real division which exists between idlers and workers. Mind this. Be not sowers of division by being busybodies, working not at all. Amen? Sometimes you can sow division because you're busybodying other men's affairs too much, worrying about what else somebody else is doing. Amen? God doesn't want us to do that. So divisions and separations are most objectionable in religion. They weaken the cause of true Christianity. They give occasion to the enemies of all godliness to blaspheme. Unity, quiet, and order among professing Christians are mighty blessings. They give strength, beauty, and efficiency to the cause of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15 says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now listen. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, what did he mean by that? He is contrasting what he says here. He says, but speaking the truth in love, that you may come together, right, in love. You come together to the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so each part. And then what does he say in verse number 17? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. He's saying, you're not... You don't walk as the world does. We're not going our own direction, doing our own thing. He says now, but we walk together in love, one with another, edifying one another. Amen? And building one another up in our most holy faith. That's what God says to do. Where the Gentiles, they were all self-served is what he's saying, and they were going to do what they wanted to do, and they didn't care. They had their agenda, and they were going to follow it. But you and I can't do that. And that's what he's explaining, because the Gentiles didn't know what a body was. They didn't know what the body of Christ was. They didn't understand that. He's teaching them that, hey, this is the purpose of the body, the function of the body. This is what God wants it to do, wants you to do. And he says, hey, no longer walk in the vanity of your own mind, but together in Christ. You might say, well, my family handles these situations this way. God wants your obedience. Amen? We love each other. We must love brethren the way Christ loves us and not our own way. Well, I have my own way of showing love. No, you better have a Christ way of showing love. Because, right? We show up from the Scriptures what God's Word says. We don't have our own way. Well, I do it my own little way. Well, if your own little way is not biblical, it's probably wrong. If it's your own little way, it's probably wrong. Amen? You love Christ the way Christ says to love. Amen? We follow the Bible. We follow God's Word, what God's Word says about love. Not the way we think, you know? You know, the days are getting dark out there. The Bible says we're to have that harmony, that love one for another. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. I want you to look at that real quick. We're almost done here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Look at that. All of us. Not just one of us. Doesn't say, hey, yeah, you just submit to the pastor and that's it. No. No, the pastor submits too. We all submit one to another. It's not just one. Sure, pastor has different authority and different functions and things like that, different office. I mean, that's understandable. But that doesn't mean there's no submission there. On the contrary, it means it is there. As an example, it is there. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Now, that's a separate sermon that I want to preach sometime. But you think about that. Be clothed with humility. You know, I would venture to say that most of any schisms or any problems would be cured quickly if we were clothed with humility. Amen? I've seen it. We've seen it. Amen? When all of us, amen, come together, man, we're clothed with humility, guess what? We lay our passions aside and we're clothed with humility, what happens? God uses it. Amen? Doesn't He? God uses it. And God honors it. Why? Because you know what? I hate to break it to you. We're not always right. I don't know if you knew that. We actually do some things wrong. We actually mess up sometimes. Sometimes we get overzealous. We get very passionate. And if you're a married man, you know you've said things you shouldn't have said before. I don't know, I mean, at least I know I have.
Never.
Never? Who said that? Who said that? Brother, I've been to your house, quit lying. Every single man has said something they shouldn't have said. Oops. That didn't come out the way it was supposed to. Uh-oh. Yeah. Anyway, but we have, right? And the Bible says to be close. Look what it says, though. It says, and always it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. But it says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. All of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. Look at that. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And I don't know about you, but I need grace. Do I need it? I need it. Every second of the day, I need it. And you know what I have found? And I'm going to be honest with you, in my own life. Not that I haven't been honest with you, but I'm really going to be this time. Somebody told me you should never say that. That's not... Should never say that, right? You heard that too, brother, right? Should never say that, because that means anything else you said wasn't honest. Ought to be like Eric Frank. Let me be frank with you. Be Eric Frank with you, okay? That sounds better. If any of you know Eric Frank, you would laugh at that, because he is a very frank guy. He is very frank. Anyway, when I have been humble, God has always worked things out. Amen? When I have humbled myself, even when you're right about something, you can still be humble about it. Okay? But especially when you're wrong about something, you need to be humble either way, but you need to be humble. And I found that when I humble myself, the Lord has given me grace. And He's poured out grace upon others that were willing to forgive me and willing to move on. You know, and willing to say, hey, let's make this work. Hey, let's get past this. Why? Because you know what? We need each other. We just do. As these days get darker, we're going to need each other more and more. We just are. And we're going to realize in the time of affliction that is, I believe, is coming on this country, we are going to realize the importance of the body more than ever. Because we are seeing a greater divide in America from any Christian morality or any type of that to out and out wickedness. It's just the divide is coming greater and greater. You're seeing it, this great divide that's taking place. Where by virtue of what we do out there on the streets and we preach the Word of God out there, what we do, it already singles, but it's not as much as it's about to single us out. Amen? But we need each other. And we have to be bold, but we have to be humble. We have to be clothed with humility. Because God's not going to give us His power if we're proud. Because we're telling God we don't need it. We've got it all figured out. And boy, I know I don't have it all figured out. But I know who does. That He says, be subject one to another and be humble. If we love the Lord and each other, then there's nothing that we cannot go through in this church. Do you understand that? There's nothing. If we love the Lord and we love each other, God will get us through anything. Amen? Doesn't matter what it is, God will give us the victory through it all. We may suffer some things, but you know what? In suffering, God will temper us and bring us closer together. And we'll have His power more than ever if we love Him and love each other. Amen? It's so important. You know, the one thing that I've seen that has tore churches apart, even that had good street preaching ministries, had good, they didn't love each other. And they weren't willing to be humble with each other. They weren't willing to. I know pastors that won't humble themselves. They won't admit they're wrong. They won't do that. They just will not do that. And I've seen it tear their churches apart. Because they can't admit that they were just wrong, that they messed up, or they made a mistake, or they were wrong about something. Or guess what? It didn't work the way you thought it was going to work, or you made a mistake, you erred, you sinned, you failed. Right? And they couldn't admit that. So you know what their men thought? Well, man, if he can't humble himself, I'm not going to humble myself either. I mean, and they walk in pride. And then God doesn't give us his grace. Right? Because God resisteth the proud. But when we can humble ourselves, Satan, he won't get the victory. He won't get to cause any schisms. He won't get to try to capitalize on a schism or capitalize on a problem. You know, if we deny ourselves, you know, we have to do that, by the way. A lot of times in our life, we've got to deny ourselves. It's not easy, is it? It's not fun. Self-denial. You and I have to deny ourselves just to be in church and to be in this body. We have to deny ourselves a lot of things. You know why you have to deny yourself? One of the reasons why you deny yourself is because, hey, your preacher's not perfect. I know you all knew that. It's pretty obvious. And he's not always going to preach what you want. He's not perfect. And the brethren are not always going to be delightful. You're not always going to be loving. Right? Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're kind of mean. You're kind of cold. Maybe distant. I don't know what you've been through, though, or what you're going through. Amen? Still got to love each other. Still got to get through it together. That's how God tempered it. Satan loves schisms. You know what? He loves those disagreements among persons. He loves those differences of opinion, variances, opposition, contention, strifes. He likes those. But you know what? God hates it. God hates the sowing of discord among the brethren. He doesn't like those. God hates them. He hates that. Amen? And he wars against our pride. Remember that sermon I preached? The war against your pride? Right? He wars against our pride, but he gives grace to the humble. Let's be humble. Let's be clothed with humility, and let's love one another. Amen? That means you forbear some things. You're long-suffering, and you forbear some things. Amen? Because we're a bunch of imperfect people serving a perfect Savior. Amen? All right, Father, thank you, Lord, so much. Lord, we thank you for this baptism we're about to have, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you for each other, Lord. Thank you for each member here. And Lord, we love them, Lord, and we thank you so much that God has brought us together. And Lord, we can't take it for granted what you've done for us. But we must always be grateful and love one another. Help us, Lord, to be tempered with your love and tempered with your affection and your truth, Lord. And help us to bear one another's burdens as well. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Thank you for this baptism that's coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.